I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, giving doctors better skills to communicate bad news.
Anthony Bach is a medical oncologist at the University of Washington and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. He and four colleagues are in the fifth year leading a program funded with $1.5 million from the National Cancer Institute.
Dr. Bach says specially trained actors play cancer patients to help oncologists learn how to avoid sounding insensitive when the prognosis is grim.
Probably the biggest misconception I face is that, you know, you're either born with this or you're not. In fact, what the research shows is that people learn to do this over time. And the way they learn to do it is they see good role models, they practice, they get specific feedback on what they're doing, they try out new things, they innovate and develop new conversation practices for themselves.
Well, can you give us some examples of those conversational practices? What are some ways to impart bad news?
Yeah, here's an example. So the patient has had cancer in the past, you know, has been doing well and is coming in for some routine follow-up tests. You know, the routine follow-up tests unexpectedly show the cancer started to come back. And, you know, the doctor will typically go in and say to the patient, guess what, your cancer's back. And the patient will be just blown away, right? There are a couple of practices there that doctors can do that can help. I mean, one is to start with, especially if you don't know the patient, asking what the patient expected. What did they understand about their cancer? What were they expecting with this test? You know, because if the patient says to you, you know, they didn't tell me anything, I'm just here because I got this appointment in the mail, that's one whole kind of comprehension level. Whereas if the patient says, you know, I had a T1N1M0 lung cancer, and they told me I'd have, a 55% chance of disease recurrence in the next 2 years, that's a whole different story, right? The second thing is that after you give this difficult news, then I think it's really important to address both the cognitive reaction and also the kind of the emotional side of it.
What are some of the phrases or the ways in which you can couch this news?
You know, the way to make it easier is to make sure that you are going from the context the patient drew for you. So you go from what the patient understands and you try to use their words as much as possible. And then when you get to the really bad part of the news, I think it's actually important to be direct and concrete and not to couch the news. It's better to say the cancer has come back than to say, you know, there are hypodensities in your liver on the CT. You have a malignancy. All those euphemisms force patients to struggle to understand what's happening to them, and it adds to their confusion and distress.
Well, should they say things like, I wish things were different, or I hope for the best, or should a doctor kind of maintain a distance?
You know, my thought about that, actually, is that the more skilled the physician, the less they have to distance themselves. There are some phrases that we use, and the most, you know, important ones are really the ones that are about empathy for the patient. You know, I see this is a difficult situation. I see that this is not what you expected. You know, I'm hoping for the best. And I think it's fine for doctors to talk about hope, and I think it's important, actually.
Let me ask you, have you seen any cultural differences come up in the training programs as you've had doctors go through?
Yeah, you know, we have actually a very multicultural group of physicians who come, and they all bring in all their own different values about, you know, how frank should people be. Because, you know, the American standard, of course, is that, you know, patients themselves get all the information, they make the decision themselves, you know, and there's this very strong emphasis on autonomy. And in a lot of other cultures, that's really not the case.
And what got you started in the first place?
What got me started was when I was an oncology trainee, and this was after, you know, a personal experience. You know, my mother had died of a pre-leukemia kind of thing. I remember walking around in the bone marrow transplant wards with this experience, this other, you know, older senior physician, going around having these, you know, life and death conversations with patients and thinking, God, there has got to be a better way to do this.
The result, says Dr. Tony Bach in Seattle, is a program that has now trained about 180 oncologists at retreats held twice a year. The program website is oncotalk.info. That's oncotalk.info.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. Our website is voanews.com/wordmaster. And our email address is word@voanews.com. With Avi Arditi, I'm Roseanne Skirbel.